podcasting to you from the beaches of an island paradise of Themyscira. You are listening to the Cave of Solitude, your pop culture and comic book podcast. I am your host, Eric Anthony. And as you can tell from the music, from the intro, from the smile on my face, you can't see it, but you can hear it. I am with the lovely, wonderful woman of the Cave of Solitude, everybody's favorite insane mercenary, the incomparable, the unshakable, the amazing, Lady J.
Hi, everybody.
Lady J, Daff J, all your pseudonyms and aliases, how are you, young lady?
I'm good.
Are you an empowered woman after seeing this film of a Wonder Woman, if you will?
I have to say, proud to have a vagina.
Good.
Yeah.
You always have a way of throwing me off. Course, I forgot what I was going to say next. So you're proud to be a woman.
I am.
Very, very nice. Obviously, we are going to be discussing and reviewing a spoiler-filled movie review of DCEU's. Do you know what the EU stands for?
Extended Universe.
There you go. You got it. I barely had to tell you. High five. The DCU, or the DC Extended Universe, which is like all of their films, television, whatever. Their latest film, Wonder Woman, directed by Patty Jenkins.
Also a woman.
Also a woman, which is fitting. I think she was the director for Monster with Charlize Theron, where Charlize won the Oscar.
Oh.
So this is a completely different movie, but definitely a very female-centric movie, just the same, and starring Gal Gadot. Do you say Gadot or Gadot?
I say Gadot.
I think Gadot sounds...
Well, how does she say it? I think that's the important thing.
I've heard a couple of people say Gadot.
Gadot?
Yeah, Gal Gadot. I don't like Gadot. I'm going to call her Gal Gadot.
I always thought it was Gadot, so...
Why would that name be around? Like, it's obviously... Looks like it's, like, phonetically Gadot, right? Yeah. The way it looks.
Okay, yeah.
But why would the Gadot be out there if that wasn't proper? You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Just, I don't know. That's just me. So I'm going to say Gal Gadot. Or Gadot.
Gadot.
See, it's already messed me up. Anyways, before we get into the spoiler-filled discussion, I'm not even going to say a review, a discussion. Because until our podcast reviews are on a Metacritic or Rotten Tomatoes, this is just discussions.
Okay.
Right? We're really reviewing it, but that's okay. So to continue, before we get into this spoiler-filled discussion, we have an email this week, Daff J.
No.
Yes, we do.
What?
Let's get into it. It is from Harry Halitosis.
That's not... What?
It's from Harry Halitosis. That's what it says. Let me read it to you.
Wow.
Cave dwellers, can't wait for your take on Wonder Woman. Just saw it last night and was totally blown away. Is this really a DC movie? I'm not a total geek, so I don't know what the comic lines have been doing. Daff is going to cry from the new Army Dog trailer, which we didn't see.
Okay, wait. I do know what he's talking about.
Yes.
Mr. Halitosis, I know what you're talking about. I can't.
No, okay.
Talk about it.
About dogs, your podcast needs more of the dog in it. I guess they're referring to Kobe the dog, who is sleeping and having sweet sueños right now. Until next time, Harry Halitosis. We are going to get into all of these things other than the new Army Dog trailer, because Daff J is already about to cry. So, moving along, let's talk a little bit about the trailers that we did see before Wonder Woman graced the screens.
What is this with these trailers? these destructive, earth-ending,
it's like it's
catastrophic. All these movies that
it's
are
like
coming
1996
out,
all over again.
Oh my goodness, I was excited to watch this movie, but the trailers that they're showing these days, everything is falling apart. The world is coming to an end. I don't know what's wrong with these
people. It was definitely the trailers we saw. Like, I don't know if
I know they vary from theater to theater, yes. But the one that we went to, it was like one after the other after the other after the other. And I'm just like, I thought we were going to die.
We had Dunkirk. You had the one that was the Geo... Oh, I forget what it was called. Geo War or something like that, where you just saw this huge...
Tsunami
coming in and like...
That is my nightmare.
Yeah, mine too. I have lots of nightmares of that. You can't outrun it.
I couldn't breathe. I stopped breathing through the trailers because it was just so like... And if you know what? I understand that they're making this for entertainment purposes and stuff. But I'm sorry. This isn't the kind of thing that I would enjoy.
Yeah.
That I don't want... I don't care to see any of these movies to feel like I'm trapped or I can't breathe or I'm dying. This is not fun for me.
Even... They showed the Thor trailer... Even Ragnarok. Ragnarok means like end of days, end of time.
Excuse me, can I ask you a question?
Tell me.
What is Ragnarok? I feel like the font of that word, like it reminds me of a video game.
It does definitely look like a video game.
Like a video game from the 80s or something.
No,
is that...
Ragnarok is in Norse mythology, like their kind of end of times, like their Armageddon. That's like the word for Armageddon kind of thing, Ragnarok.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That's in the Norse mythology.
So
and
this
stuff.
Is
and
a...
it happens I think it happens more than once. Like they rebuild after Ragnarok and then it could happen again.
So
I'm not mistaken.
Is this the third?
This is the third Thor, yeah.
Oh, okay.
This is the third. I'm really excited for this movie.
I'm excited about his haircut.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think I'm kind of over the long-haired, like, Thor-looking. I mean, I know that's what he always... But I think because he always looks the same.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they show the trailer where he has, like, a new buzz cut kind of thing going on, I'm like, oh!
They actually just recently did that to him in the comics as well.
Hmm.
Gave him a haircut like that, so...
What's the reason in the comics?
Well, the storyline in the comics is a little different from the Marvel Universe one. He's now known as the Odin son, or he's no longer worthy to hold Mjolnir.
Oh, is that the one where you told me the girl is holding it?
Yes.
Jane Foster is holding it?
Yes, that's right.
Because when she holds it, she's not dying of cancer.
Yeah,
but
good
when
memory,
she's not dying of cancer...
It accelerates it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I haven't read far enough in that series, which apparently is a really, really good series...
Mm-hmm.
To know all of the details about it, but what I have read, I really enjoyed, and I did read the Unworthy Thor, and he gets his hair cut in that.
Is this like a Samson kind
of
story?
No.
Like
that's not his hair has nothing to do with the worthiness.
Obviously,
worthiness.
I
can't speak today.
I understand that, but like you know how like for Samson, it, like his hair was like what gave him his like his strength.
Mm-hmm.
So for Thor not to be worthy of the hammer, the haircut then represents his like not being powerful. Do you know what I mean? Because a lot of these stories in comics do come from like some biblical stuff, like Superman and Moses,
mm-hmm.
right? The capsule, the
mm-hmm.
basket,
mm-hmm.
you know, and being raised by another individual
mm-hmm.
kind of thing.
Yeah.
There's like a bunch of.
Yeah, there's a lot of references.
This
I think
is how comics actually became part of the university curriculum.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. Michael Uslan presented it to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, the same guy who, if you watch any Batman production, his name will always be an executive producer because he was a big proponent of them making a Batman film, Michael Uslan. He has a book called The Boy Who Loved Batman. He's a huge Batman fan. But I don't think in the case of Thor, that's the case. Because Thor is so much built on Norse mythology, which is like very, very deep and rich. So I doubt they'd be pulling anything from any Judeo-Christian references.
Oh, okay.
From there.
Just a question. Just
no,
inquiring.
It's a good question. I actually don't know. I think it was more just to, almost like a refresh yourself.
Okay.
He had kind of been in a rut, and, you know, really feeling in the book, kind of like wanting to gain that worthiness back, but feeling so upset with himself that he lost it, that he hasn't really eaten or done anything, and he's just like hiding out on like a moon crater
kind of. You know what is about Samson?
What?
The pixies gouge away.
Deep cut. Deep cut.
There you go.
That's a very, if you don't know who the Pixies are, they are a alternative indie rock band. Album is Doolittle. Last track of the album called Gouge Away, it is about Samson. Very good.
You're welcome.
Look at you, just pulling out.
It just popped in my head. It's all those greens, man. All those greens. I'm still doing it. I'm still sticking in there with the eating clean business.
And how are you feeling? You're ready to look like you're about to lunge at me. You feeling better? You feeling good? Feeling great?
Yes.
Feeling great? Feeling good?
Yeah.
How are you?
Great.
Shall we dig into this movie?
Let us dig.
I'm excited to talk about it.
Go for it.
What was your... Before I speak on my experience, going into the movie for you... What were your expectations of Wonder Woman? Like, what were you... Did the trailers give you anticipation? Did they... Were you a little bit jaded because of the last two DC movies? Like, how are you feeling?
I was excited about this movie, but... what's the word now? Cautiously optimistic.
Oh, okay.
Because of the history of the other two DC movies, I was kind of like, I really want this to be good. And the trailer, I thought was great.
Right,
the music was on point. Oh. And I was just like, I want this to be a thumbs up.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, that was agree. But I was kind of like, you know what? If it misses the mark, I'm not going to be surprised.
Yeah.
If it does what it, I hope it does, then I'll be happy for DC.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Is it safe to conclude that Wonder Woman was both of our favorite parts of BVS?
I'm gonna say yeah. She seemed to make the most sense in that whole smorgasbord of a mess. Like, she seemed to kind of piece things together and was her true self the best portrayed of the three.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's a good point. Yes. Yeah, that got me excited when she showed up in BVS and the music played and you hadn't heard any previews with her music in it prior to that moment.
I gotta say, like, because I don't watch BVS. We have it, right?
Yeah, we own it.
I've never seen it. But I think, now that you brought it up, I feel like I think I'm going to skip to the end and just watch
you. I think the last time you did see it, you just skipped it. You're like, I just want to see her.
I don't remember that.
I think you tried watching the extended cut, and you were just like, okay, can we just get to her?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So, yeah, for me, similar to what you were saying, I happen to agree with that point. She was the truest. She seemed to be the truest, well-portrayed character in BVS. And all of the previews, I was very excited to see this movie because it looked promising. I liked that it was nostalgic and that it took place during World War I. And I was just excited for Wonder Woman because it had never been done before. And I was really... Based on the things that I had seen of her, I was really starting to buy into the casting of Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. At first, I was like, she's too small, she's too petite. Wonder Woman has to be 6'5", and, you know...
She has to be a Xena.
Yeah, she has to look like she can carry a tank, and I was like, I don't know how I'm going to buy this little thing doing that, but By BVS and after, I was pretty convinced that this was a good casting of Wonder Woman. But I did hear, and I think that I mentioned it on the show, I don't know which episode it would have been, but there were reports that the movie was very unimpressive. Early screenings or early like pre-screenings and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think you told me that.
They were saying that it was a mess.
I think when we did our Paper Girl, one of our Paper Girls episodes, I think you had dropped the bomb on me.
Okay.
And I remember this because I was kind of like, oh no, it's happening again.
Yeah, I had heard, yeah, it was like in March or something. They were like, it's probably not looking good for Wonder Woman. And I was like, oh man, not again. Like, can't we just get one of these that's going to be good? So I kind of went into this month or these week leading up to the movie a little trepidatious, you know, cautiously optimistic, like you said. But I was waiting for that Rotten Tomato to pop up, like be in the 50s. But I was pleasantly surprised at the, not just well-received, but like extremely well-received reviews that it was getting, to the point where I actually messaged you and said, it got this much for a change. Because the other movies, I never told you what it was getting, if you recall, because I didn't want you to not go to the theater to watch it. So 94% certified fresh, Rotten Tomatoes, for a DC movie. So the conspiracy theorists can stop their complaining that there's a conspiracy against DC and a favoritism towards Marvel movies. I think if you make a good film, you'll get good reviews.
Right.
Let's talk about it.
Let's.
How did you feel seeing the Wayne Enterprises truck? First scene of the movie.
First scene of the movie, Wayne Enterprise. You know what? As much as I love my Batman and respect the Bruce Wayne, because of my last encounter with him in the movie realm, I was kind of like, oh no, are we starting from this now? Like, And of course, we're going to spoil it. I was happy with the fact that Bruce Wayne basically did a cameo without being there.
Yes.
It was all about the main character, the person we came to see. And I thought it was tasteful because I also don't like the other extreme where you ignore the other characters in this particular person's life.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like, how do we not acknowledge that part of them?
Right.
But I think it was done in a very tasteful manner.
Yeah, I agree. It's
very subtle.
Yes.
Just to the, there's a connection and it's still there, but it's not about him.
Yes.
It's about her.
I was a little bit irritated when I first saw it, because I'm like, oh, we're starting off already. We gotta, like, make sure there's the Batman trust fall. Is that what you call it? Where, like, just in case, we still want people to know, like, Batman will be around in this movie, or right, there's going to be something with him in it to sell it.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what, DC? I love Batman, but I'm sick and tired of you, like, overusing him. And I just want to say, before we continue, the reason I've got, like, this bit of a criticism towards the character is I don't want them to water him down.
Yeah. I think as you were saying that, I was kind of like, oh, here he goes again. But then I'm like, you know what? If I'm listening right, I don't think that he appreciates the overuse of a person or a thing, because then it's like, it's not exciting anymore.
Exactly.
It's just overly, exactly, like, been there, done that, and it's just exhausting. It's an eye roller. As opposed to it being like, hey, like, the excitement is not there anymore.
That's the point, right? Yeah. And I think that they've relied on that for too long, to the point where it's becoming that oversaturated, watered down. It's, you can no longer taste the sweetness of it because it's too much in your mouth.
Yeah.
And I feel like any character, when you get it in the right doses, it makes you want more of it. Whereas when you make them the solution to every problem, when you make, it's kind of like what Marvel did in the 90s with Wolverine and Spider-Man and and certain characters that gained a popularity, they put them in everything. Yeah. Ghost Rider, Punisher, just because they knew that it would sell a couple issues. They were profitable. Issues. They're profitable.
Yeah.
To the point where the product no longer became interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want them to do that to Batman. And with, like, the New 52, there were, like, 10 books of Batman or the Batman family. It's, like, a little less in order for us to get more
mm-hmm.
enjoyment from it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want this movie to have that cameo so that it could be like, well, at least Batman's in it again.
Right.
The way
right.
they tried to do with Suicide Squad.
Right.
So I was a little concerned. I'm like, oh no. I know it got good reviews, but we're starting here already.
Mm-hmm.
But when they showed just that little bit, and it made sense. It was very tasteful, like you said, because it's like, yeah, he had the picture, and that's what she was after,
mm-hmm.
and he's giving it to her, and that's where we're going to start this story from.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
That was really nice connectivity without it being watered down. It was good stuff. She looked like she's in the Louvre in France, right? She's like the weapons curator or something like that, which kind of makes sense.
I thought she was just in an office. I wasn't paying attention to that many details.
Yeah, it looks like she's a museum curator at the Louvre.
Okay.
If I'm saying it right. Louvre. and then it goes right back to, like, the beginning of her story.
To the very beginning.
Let's talk about the mascara.
Go for it, because I know how excited you were about...
No. I you know what? I'm really happy that I could do this episode specifically with you. Because you are a woman. And for so many years... this genre has been catered to men.
Yeah.
Even the way superheroes or superheroines, women are drawn in comics is titillating. It's always been done in a way that they look like bombshells or you know, like they're going to be in a centerfold magazine
yeah.
for men.
Yeah.
And it's kind of been alienating to women because the majority of women don't look like these girls. It's hard to relate to them when they're scantily clad and their, you know, their cleavage is being shown unnecessarily. So to be able to watch a movie like this properly representing women, warriors, to be able to talk to a girl about it... I like that. I really want to get your take on what your experience was like because men have had this... We've had Superman, we've had Batman, we've had every superhero, Iron Man, Captain America, they've all been men. There's Black Widow and what have you. There's been Lois Lane's, but they're not like this. Not yeah. where they are the center piece of it all. So when you saw Themyscira, an island full of women, Paradise Island, what was it like?
Well, firstly, I thought Themyscira was just a beautiful, beautiful place.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of reminded me like of Asgard, but Asgard is a very magical, mystical place. This, however, was kind of like, it was like, you know what? There's somewhere in the world that looks like that, and I want to go there.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Like, it was very real.
Asgard has the cosmic feel.
Yeah.
It's cool, but it's very fantasy-based.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's very magical.
Okay.
Right? But Themyscira was just naturally also kind of ruggedly, historically beautiful.
Yeah.
And I feel that it was a representation of its residents, right?
Yeah.
Every woman was beautiful, but not because of the obvious, you know, blonde hair, tall. Like, it was their strength that was striking. It was their eyes that were striking. It was just their... like their definition, their discipline, that's what was striking about them. And that's, I felt that Themyscira represented the women there.
Yes.
And I thought that's what made it beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, I love that sort of era of Greek mythology, like when you watch something like a Troy mm-hmm. or, you know, movies taking place in that time period, mm-hmm. you knew that this was an extension of that ancient mythology,
mm-hmm.
but to see the island so lush and
yeah.
blue, the water so blue, mm-hmm. and just this richness to it,
yeah.
it was really cool.
Yeah, and even some of their, like, their structures, like their buildings. It was kind of rustic, but yet very like antique-y kind of. I don't know. Yes. I feel the island was also, I could be wrong, but I feel that the island was a representation of the women, right? Like, yeah. Even Princess Buttercup. Like, she, I don't know if you noticed, I don't know if you noticed, but on her shoulder, like, she had this scar or something on her. Yes. But, like, I felt, like, I thought that scar was a beautiful representation of her courage, of her bravery, of her...
Told a story.
And it, like, you know what I mean? Like, I found that that's the kind of thing that attracted me to... And it wasn't just the main front runner people, like, because they pan on a bunch of different individuals. And very all of them...
Very diverse, too, yes, right? Yes,
I was going to say that variety, like, of different shades of skin, hair, texture, everything. And yet, all of it looked...
Like, they fit.
Magnificent.
Yeah.
It was like, oh my goodness, like, we are a wonderful specimen. Like, look at us.
I'll admit, throughout this movie, I got a little glassy-eyed. As weird as that sounds.
Yeah, I did too.
I got a little, like, overwhelmed, starting with the mascara, because it's only been something that, I never watched the Wonder Woman television show from the 70s. Like, I never, that it wasn't being rerun or in syndication like the Batman 66. I knew of it, I've seen clips of it, but I never got into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there was a Themyscira in that show, but it took my breath away, because I've only seen it in comics. I've only seen it in animation.
Right.
And even when I see it in comics and animation, I'm like, oh, that's great. Like, that's paradise.
Yeah.
And these women have figured out how to live in peace without man's corruption, and they're just fine. Mm-hmm. Like, that's probably such a well-organized, clean island to be on, run by women who could kick the crap out of anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just so awesome.
Yeah.
And so to see it, I believed in it, because it was tactile. Mm-hmm. It was something real. And I'm like, I feel like this place really exists. Mm-hmm. I would hope it did. And it kind of was like, wow, that they brought it to life. Kind of the way, and this is a little, not, it's not the same, but kind of in the way you saw Krypton in Man of Steel.
Mm-hmm.
A little different. It's not the Krypton you've ever seen before, but right. It was a place where you saw their technology and you saw the abilities that they had.
Right.
That was really cool.
Yeah.
So this kind of... It was brought to life in a way that made you like, oh, I can see why Superman would be from here.
Yeah, yeah.
So this this was even more.
Mm-hmm.
This, like, topped it all. I don't think I've ever had the experience of a superhero movie, comic book movie, that gave me that moment... seeing it for the first time. Because mm-hmm. I didn't see a Superman in 78. I wasn't alive. Like, I didn't get to experience any of that for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing Wonder Woman brought to life for the first time, I was like, oh my goodness. Like, we're there.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Seeing them train. The little Diana watching the Warriors train, and then you kind of see her get a little bit older. And it was well-paced. It wasn't rushed. And it made me think, like, you know what? The first 15 minutes of DC films so far, I've really enjoyed. even BVS. Like, right. Seeing Bruce go through...
Run into the rubble. Like,
that was great. So it continued that winning streak for me of first 15, 20 minutes of a movie. I'm completely invested in it. And this one probably the most. What did you think of the origin story of Diana in this one? Like, when you think of Wonder Woman's origin story, what is the version that comes to mind for you?
I think of...
It's just question marks popping up on all over you, around your head, as you're thinking. Do you have one that you automatically know if someone said, like, what's Wonder Woman's origin story?
She was made out of clay.
Mm-hmm.
I envision her mother by the beach.
Yeah.
Molding an infant that all of a sudden emerges and turns into a crying baby. But then nothing in between. All of a sudden, I kind of know that she's just this young princess who loves the, you know, embraces mm-hmm. her position, not egotistically, mm-hmm. but is eager to be a great warrior and to fight alongside her sisters. And mm-hmm. there was never this, like, well, I'm the queen's daughter and I'm, you know, she was just... She just wanted to do a job and she just wanted to make sure it was done well.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to, and what I, again, the origin that I think of is her always just wanting to be equal to everyone, not.
She wanted to earn her right.
Exactly. Yeah. And she wanted to prove it to her queen. Not just because, well, I'm your daughter and I'm supposed to, I'm like next in line or that's my birthright. She even wanted her recognition to be like, I am... I'm capable.
Right.
And look at me as such, not just as your daughter who you need to defend. I want to protect you.
Right.
I want to protect what we have here. Right.
Yes.
And then I just see her as the big three.
Okay.
Yeah. Like Trent, from that to that.
Were you looking for that moment of when she's molded in clay, or were you expecting that? Did you care?
I suppose not. However, when the mother relayed her story, like, you know, you are the most precious thing to me. I molded you from clay. And I appreciated her mentioning it as opposed to bypassing it completely.
Right.
I understand, I guess, because being time sensitive, you can't go right to the beginning.
Yeah.
But the fact that it was, you know, mentioned. Spoken of, then I'm like, okay.
They're not shying away from that mythology.
Exactly.
Did you have an idea that there could be something different or something else was up in regards to her origin? Or were you just fine with
you were
molded from clay and, you know, empowered by Zeus and that's how you came to life?
Well, I was kind of just like... What? What was your question?
Were you expecting there to be a curveball in that origin
story? I hope not. I hope there wasn't. Okay. I hope they weren't going to mess it up and try to be too creative. Like I say, the script is right in the comic books. Stick to the script and you're going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I liked it. That they did it. That they stuck to it.
Without jumping ahead, like we're going to jump ahead right now, but when you found out that Zeus was actually her father... Did that bother you?
That did a little bit.
That is in the comics.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's her. That is because, her current origin.
Because I understand it as her just, you know, Hippolyta having the power, you know, or having the permission of the gods or God to be able to do what she did and have a child. But I didn't know it was because of Zeus.
Yeah, no, it was. In the New 52, that was kind of like the revamp of her, that she's actually Zeus's child.
Okay.
So it makes her a legitimate goddess herself.
Got that.
So I like that they referenced the classic version.
So they went way back.
Yeah, that's the classic, most popular one. And then they gave you the updated version as well in a very... Or, like, a way that it explained itself.
Mm-hmm.
From what you're... The information you're given at the beginning of there being a god killer, and you're thinking it's a weapon, an actual weapon, like a sword, to realizing that it was her who is considered the god killer because she is...
A god herself.
A god herself, or a goddess. I like that. I enjoyed that little bit of history and just seeing like the art that is used to tell the story.
When the storytelling was happening?
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, it was.
That was cool.
It was very fancy.
Yes, classic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the proper artistic term is, neoclassical. I don't know. But I like that. That was cool.
Can we talk about Princess Buttercup?
Talk about Princess Buttercup because she, Antiope, she was fantastic. That beach battle. When Steve Trevor crash lands into Themyscira, and you see, that's never been done before, where you, there's like the protective bubble that you can see through, and all around it's like a mist.
Yeah.
So the German soldiers who are after Trevor, spoilers, they're on boats on the other side of Paradise Island, and it's like a it's almost stormy, foggy night, and then they put their face right up to the fog, and then they see Paradise Island, and they all just charge through and attack the beach, and that's the beach scene that you see in the trailers. What? Oh, wow. Choked up again. Because you had these guys coming with weapons that were obviously way ahead of the technology that the Amazons had. They were still sword, arrows, shields, all that kind of thing, and these guys were coming with guns.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't have tanks, but they had had ships, they had rifles, they had cannons.
Yeah.
Right? So much more damage you can do without being a trained fighter. Whereas the Amazons had to fight them like
it was just raw combat.
Yeah. Talk about it. Talk about it.
Go. You're like,
I'm not, you know what?
Burning.
The older I get, I am not a fan of violence for violence sake. Like I turn sometimes when I see certain scenes. Like it just doesn't, like I'm not a UFC kind of guy where I want to see someone fight. But in this instance, like seeing these women fight so artistically, and like, it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just so proud of them that they were kicking the crap out of these guys the way that they were, and they had each other's backs, and just like
there was no hesitation in their, you know, will to defend themselves and yeah. what they've been, you know, and to defend their home, right? There was just no hesitation. They just went right in head first. And it wasn't like these little, they did some wicked, wicked off the horse, backward flip, buttercup, just went three arrows in the air.
Oh.
It was wicked. It was like, you're right. It was very artistic. It was very, I don't know, man. Like, I was proud to, like, I'm like, man, I want to be able to do that. I'm halfway there. I'm a woman. Like, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, I could do it exactly. If I wanted to.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, being a woman and seeing these women be capable. And the cool thing was is that every woman on the Themyscira, they didn't have, like, supermodel bodies.
No.
Some of them were built differently.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it was a good representation of just women.
Yeah.
And to see them all have different skills, abilities, and you know, roles that they played in battle was just awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, as a woman, how did that feel? Like, weren't you so proud?
Absolutely.
Oh, man. I'm a guy, and I'm just like, yeah, kick all their butts. Do it. Take out those Germans.
And I think, too, this movie spoke a lot on, like, women's positions and women's views and what people thought of them. And, you know, they're just supposed to sit there and look pretty.
Or be rescued.
Yeah, exactly, right? And it was at least this first scene to start this whole thing off was a total commentary on that's women are not just these pretty things to look at. You know what I mean?
Well, they are, but they can also beat you up, which is what that's the
but
best
that's why
part.
That's why I say they're not just this. Yeah. And they're not objects.
No.
They're not these objectified, you know, things. They are capable, they are strong, they are determined individuals that when they want to get a job done, they will execute it. And it was just done very, 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 like, I was like you said, right? You're proud. You're kind of like, man. But I also kind of feel like, you know, for us to have this kind of discussion, I'm kind of like, you know, it takes something like this for us to realize that. Like, women are strong in so many different ways, right? Like, they freaking bring people into the world. You know mm-hmm. what? They carry it. They take care of it. I'm not at all, like, I don't ever want to be one of these people. But at the end of the day, you can't help but think that that's a strong thing to do. And only Absolutely. A woman can do that.
Yeah.
Even female animals are the only thing, like, only they can do it. Like, only the female species or whatever you want to call it. Like, only we can bring life.
Yeah. No, it's
true.
You know,
and that's not an easy task to do. And then even beyond that, anyway, it was just very, it was spectacular,
yeah,
that scene.
Yeah, that's a great word.
And the fact that it was done in, like, daylight.
Yes,
you can
bright.
See everything.
Yes.
And, you know, they did those slow motion things.
Yes.
But what I liked about the training scene is that it explained why they
yeah.
were able to do that. It wasn't just like all of a sudden, oh, it's a woman, it's all these women that just start fighting. How cool is that? No, there was an explanation as to why they were able to do what
yes.
they did.
Yes. Spectacular. That's the great way to put it. That was very, yeah. And, you know, in line with that, like, even though women have always been, you've been explained what they're capable of, they've always been used as the muse to get you angry and react. So you see a woman be slapped, that's the reason to go fight. Like when you see women disrespected,
mm-hmm.
that because they're special and important, when they're abused or disrespected or mistreated, that's the motivation.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to someone else has to fight for them.
The other thing how do I say this? Normally, I guess a woman is portrayed, in order to take down a man, she uses her body to do it. You know,
mm-hmm.
she'll seduce him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he'll kind of, like, let's say he's in the middle of something and he sees this wonderful looking woman walk by and he, like, loses distraction. And,
yes.
And all of a sudden he, like, you know, that's when you attack because he's, like, not paying attention.
Right.
That's not what they did. They didn't use their beauty to, or they didn't like hussy themselves onto the beach to be like, you know, ooh, can I? And then like strike. Then it
yeah.
was like they brought down these men to their knees, in not the traditional way that normally women have been used to do so. Do you
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Am I saying this correctly?
Yeah, no, you're explaining.
Like
it well.
Wasn't. It wasn't like a James Bond femme fatale kind of
right.
like, you know,
yes.
I'm sexy and that's why you're going to listen to me and that's why I'm going to win this battle. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was like, no, they didn't objectify themselves to prove a point or
right.
to weaken the man. They.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
See, that's why I wanted, I like your input on this. That's good.
Hmm.
So Robin Wright as Antiope. And Hippolyta, did you like that portrayal of Hippolyta?
I don't know much about Hippolyta.
Mm-hmm.
I just knew that she was very to the rules, like has a like, you know, this is what we do, this is what we're known for, and this is what we're gonna stick to. Well, I guess she portrayed that quite well.
I liked seeing her fight on the beach too. She, even though she had like that cape, that was really cool.
Yeah, like she has always, I think, I mean, Wonder Woman has that thing too, right? Like she won't go anywhere, she won't send people anywhere she won't go herself. And for Hippolyta to also do that, I mean, that stems from somewhere, right? Like, you
mm-hmm.
wouldn't, you're not surprised that Wonder Woman is the way she is. Like, she got it from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So Hippolyta was very, like, she cool, wasn't sure. like, I'm a queen and protect me.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
those other movies where, like, the king has the soldiers go ahead and he's sitting in his throne just hearing the bad news. You know what I mean? She
proactive.
Led her,
yeah.
she led the women.
Led by example.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another change that they did, we're still just in the first half of this movie, there's so much to talk about. Another change that they did was how she left the island. The traditional story is that...
Ooh, before you get there.
Yeah.
One thing I learned that I didn't know of before was when Steve Trevor was being compelled to tell the truth with the lasso.
Mm.
I didn't realize that when you resist the lasso, I guess it burns you or it gets hot.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that it had that effect on, like I thought all you had to tell the truth, nothing but I didn't realize that when you were trying not to, you would feel pain.
Right, yeah.
Is this true?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, it is.
I just didn't know if that was an addition into the movie, because I remember saying out loud, I was like, oh, that's interesting. Like, how cool is that for them to, you know, whether it comes from the comics or not, to
use that. To use yes. that.
But yeah. you're saying it is?
It is,
oh,
yes.
Oh, okay.
And, the, you know, I forgot to mention in the beginning, the reason why I feel as positive towards this movie already, the script was written by Alan Heinberg, and you might not know who that is, but he wrote Wonder Woman comics as well as some very well-regarded Young Avengers comics. So he's a comic book writer,
mm-hmm.
but he also is a screenwriter for a little show called Grey's Anatomy.
No!
And Scandal, and a bunch of, yeah, so a lot of television shows.
Wait,
that...
Wait, what kind of Grey's... Or early Grey's Anatomy or late Grey's Anatomy?
I'm not 100% sure, but he's a well-known screenwriter and comic book writer.
But a lot of these, okay, whether it's, you know, it's crappy now and whatever, I don't watch Scandal, but, you know, the forefront is a woman in that show.
Yes.
Grey's Anatomy, the main character is a woman.
That's right.
So is he all about women empowerment?
I think he has a good handle on it. He was a consulting producer on Gilmore Girls, Sex and the City.
Also about women.
Yeah. The OC.
I don't know about that.
Grey's Anatomy, Scandal, The Catch. So he understands the development of women character,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, a good fit, especially for this movie. So...
He's like the Mel Gibson of the women on screen.
What? Is that the comparison we're going for?
Wait, you know that movie that he did a long time ago? What Women Want?
Oh, right. Okay,
so
okay, good pull. Good pull. What Women... Okay, good pull. Got it. You redeemed yourself with that reference. So getting back to what I was saying, the traditional story of how Wonder Woman leaves the mascara is with this... contest of champions
yes.
to see who's the one that is,
and she goes up against Artemis. No,
I don't think so.
But still,
but in something like that,
they all compete.
They all compete to see who the champion is amongst them that would have the honor of bringing Steve back to
yes.
Regular land,
yeah,
London or wherever he's from.
However,
right?
Did Diana, did she disguise herself as just
yes.
a regular... She wasn't... She didn't contend as Diana.
No, she wore
she
a mask.
She concealed her identity
That's
to
right.
be able to... And then when her mom found out that it was her... Well then...
She had to go.
Nothing to be said.
Yeah, she won.
That's right.
So in this one, you don't see any of that. Were you hoping to see that? I was kind of hoping to see that.
I kind of was... That I was a little disappointed
yeah.
with how... She left the island, kind of, what's the word when it's not down up here, but it's down here?
Disappointed?
No.
Let down? Under?
Under, yes, underwhelmed.
Underwhelmed.
I was underwhelmed
okay.
with how she left, because I'm like, well, so she had a tizzy with her mommy, and that's what, you know, she... I mean, it was more than that. I'm not trying to downplay the movie, but it was kind of like, so she just, you know, threw a fit and decided to rebel. Like, I would have liked there to be a little bit more something. And at the end, in the origin, like, her mom had nothing but respect, had to respect and trust that Diana could fulfill this assignment, as opposed to in the movie, her mother was kind of disappointed with the idea that she was...
Well, I think...
It was a little bit of both, right? She's like, you're the greatest thing, but you're also my biggest disappointment. And then kind of just leaves and...
I think she didn't put it in those words. She said, my greatest sorrow, because seeing her leave brought her pain. But she knew that it was going to happen anyways, because this was kind of her destiny. And
well,
I don't think she wanted to tell her... who she really was. They kept protecting her from that, right? They kept saying, well, you should just tell her the truth. You should just tell her the truth. And she knew that this was something that was going to happen. So in the way that they handled it, and I kind of liked the interaction that it allowed Chris Pine, Steve Trevor, and Diana to have on the boat, and that little back and forth that they're able to have together. I thought that was really good. As opposed to her just being like, let's jump in the invisible plane and I'll take you back. Like, I'm kind of happy they didn't do that in hindsight. It was different. I wanted to see the battle because I wanted to stay on Themyscira for the whole movie. But...
You know what? I guess you're right. Because as many differences as individuals will have against you, like, I would have liked her mom to be, like, 100% behind her, as opposed to kind of, like, hesitant about, like, well...
See, that part of it is accurate, because her mother, even when Diana wants, like, oh, no, why did you do this, daughter? Like, I have to send you now.
No, I know that. It wasn't going to be a good, easy decision, but her mother wouldn't have been able to argue it, mm-hmm. right? As opposed to here, she was kind of like, she wasn't happy about her. And had she not caught her, let's say, like Diana was just going to leave the island and we would never have seen Themyscira. Like I think what I'm trying to say is there was no conclusion to Themyscira.
Yeah,
it was kind of like, we're on to the next
thing.
There was no conclusion to the mom, the warriors, you know what I mean? For that to have only ever been your world, from the day you were born to I'm up and leaving. Yeah. That's the word. Thank you. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
What would I do without you?
I don't know. I'd be talking in circles. Got it. I really like the relationship built between Steve and Diana. I feel it's very organic. It was charming without being gag-worthy. It seemed very natural.
Yeah, they kept all the mushy stuff at bay.
Yeah. You
Which I really appreciated.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want it to be a whole, like, love fest right from the beginning, kind of like...
And as much as you know that there's an affection and a romance being built between the two of them, that's just... the comic story anyways, like, that's...
But it was a build-up. Like, you understand why they perhaps would have some kind of affection for each other. Because, you know, they spent days on a boat together. He was there when, you know, when the Themyscira experienced, you know, death and bloodshed. Like, there's, like, a history. He got to know a little bit about her, knows where she's from, understands her... what anyone else would consider as quirky, but he's like, wait, no, she believes this. You know what I mean? And he was actually able to really get to know her.
Yeah. And even they're able to see the heroism in each other, their care for people, right? Because that's the biggest thing of Wonder Woman is that, or Diana, is that she's got a love for people. And he had the same thing.
Like, which I think was... exquisitely displayed in this movie.
Yeah.
To the point where even she made me feel bad for people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't cry for people. I don't cry for children in the screen. Like, I mean, I feel bad for people. I'm not a monster. But, like, I'll cry over an animal before I cry over a person.
Yeah, on the beach scene, you're like, oh,
the horses.
You didn't care about any of the Amazons. It was all if the horses
were okay. Well, because I knew they could take care of themselves, right? Like, clearly.
Even though they were getting shot. You were worried about the horse that was...
No, but, like, when she would be like, Steve, like, we have to help these people. Yeah. Like, she was willing to do anything and everything to try to bring some kind of peace and justice and some kind of redemption to the innocent, to the people that couldn't fight for themselves. She wanted to do that. And the way she, like, the way Gal Gadot, like, did that, even I was feeling for the people. Like,
you definitely
felt...
Like,
oh, my goodness, like...
Yeah.
They were stripped of their home and there's no food and they have nothing and their children are dying and like that's it. And
that was a real place. We're jumping ahead a little bit, but that no man's land portion, that was a real thing in the war. That wasn't made up for this movie. That existed. And they really portrayed it well to see just how horrendous it was.
And that's what I mean, right? It was done so well that I think it brought justice to a reality that perhaps many people either don't know about or have probably forgotten a part of history. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I think that was a great portrayal of the humanity part of this.
Exactly. Yeah. The love that she has for people. When she gets to London.
Or even the animals. Remember, again, I know that I'm jumping ahead for certain things, but remember she's like, why are they beating the horses? Because they gotta move. They gotta move fast. She's like, yeah, but I can help them. I can help them without them hurting them. Like, she wanted to just help anyone. She just wanted to help people accomplish their
goal.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, their mission.
She just wanted to be of some use to people, but in a way that was beneficial to everyone.
Yeah.
Not because, oh, I'm Wonder Woman and I could just pick up their buggy and get them going. It wasn't that kind of thing. It was like a genuine look. No, let me teach them how they can do things better and make it easier for them. So going forward, they can help themselves. They can help others. It wasn't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, I can keep going. Go ahead. What are we talking about now? London?
I was saying her fish out of water shtick when she's in London and just... She's so beautiful and good-hearted as a person, but that warrior mentality is so strong in her. They're like, no, you can't walk around with your sword. She couldn't get all those social cues. Seeing her figure that out was so funny.
And I think that's what made her beautiful. Like... You can't, like, we can talk on and on about, like, oh my goodness, like, women looking so powerful and so blah, 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 blah. We can't ignore the obvious, the physicality of this particular character. Gal Gadot is a striking, beautiful, exotic-looking woman. But I think what made her even great more... Great accent. Absolutely. Accent was... I think that
I love that they gave her that.
But answer. I think what makes any individual, not just a woman, but any person beautiful is their character, is their being, is their personality. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. She carried herself like you said, right? She was kind of like figuring things out. People had to tell her, like, you know, put your legs down, stop punching things. Like, you know what I mean? Like, don't...
She kept trying to kick in her...
in her skirt.
How am I supposed to fight in this?
Yeah. Like, or when she went and saw someone's bustier. Is that what it's called? Yeah. Or those, the busty... What are these things
Bustiers,
called?
Bustiers, yeah.
This thing?
Yeah.
This thing?
Yes, yes.
That's a bustier?
Yes.
I thought a bustier was just a bra.
No, it's the whole thing. You're a girl. Why am I telling you this?
What is this called? Anyway, she thought it was armor.
Yeah.
Right? She's like, is this what women are wearing these days? To fight? And
she couldn't figure out that women were treated the way they were. That they had no rights.
Yeah.
Especially in that day and age. Like, there was no rights
for women.
I think
they made mention of that, right? They were saying, like, we almost have the vote or something like that.
Yeah, Etta Candy. Etta Candy, I thought, added just the right amount of giggles.
Mm-hmm.
She was so... She's just a perfect touch of lightheartedness. And that's something that's missing. Right, in all the other movies, that little bit of laugh that you can get, that levity
mm-hmm.
in different moments, that in this movie they did it well, but it didn't make it cheesy. It wasn't forced. It wasn't like, oh, they're trying to be funny. Oh, they know that there's a criticism that the movies are too dark and they got to make it, you know, lighthearted. No, this was a perfect example of how you can make it work by looking at the character and seeing the things in their life that people could... get a chuckle out of naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie was filled with that, but never to the detriment of the story. Never to be like, oh, that's forced.
Yeah.
That's so out of left field. That threw me out of it. Never happens like that. When she goes to battle that first time and she takes off the...
That cloak?
That cloak. Thank you. That's the word.
The greens.
That cloak. And you see her, I mean, it's the part in the trailer, you see her come off the ladder, enter no man's land, and just take all the fire. Again, I got emotional. I was like Wonder Woman is on screen, live action Wonder Woman.
She was a woman leading men.
Man.
In a time where women were just like, they weren't even allowed in a room. Remember that scene?
The moment was so earned. Do you know? When you see her like that, it was just so... Like, I don't know, it was something you waited for, and when you got it, it felt, we're here, we're finally here. What were you saying? I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No, I'm listening to you.
No, what were you saying about that when they, oh yes, the room with the men, that they were having the meeting about who would be allowed to go where, what the plan was for the war?
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I cut you off.
No, it's fine. I was just saying, like, it's almost like she kind of advanced the women taking the lead kind of thing in a time where there was no, like I said, there, you know, this particular room
that she couldn't, what is a woman doing here? The fact that she was even
there, people were like, what is this kind of thing?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, when she came out to battle, like, there was, and I think Steve even said, like, she's taking all the fire. Let's go. Like, let's get it done.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for her, you know, doing that, they wouldn't have infiltrated the Germans.
Yeah. That was, how did you feel when you saw that scene? Like, just her taking the fire on the no man's land front was awesome. But then when she actually gets into that church steeple room that they're in, where they're all hiding out, and she, like, flies in there and takes them all out, like, what was going through your head? How did you feel?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. That's it. There's nothing to say. You're speechless. Just really, really, really cool. Like, Meh. There's nothing to say. It was a good part of the movie. Like, what can I say that I haven't said already? Like,
you're right.
It was really good.
I'll go out and say that it's that feeling you get when you see Batman enter a room and take out a squad of 20. And you see all of his training come full circle. You're like, wow, this guy. When you, like, seeing Wonder Woman do that. Again, it's the feeling I got from it, I think the last time I can say that I got that moment. Here's a couple. When I see Bucky for the first time in Winter Soldier, and he takes off the mask, and Steve Rogers looks at him, and he's like, that moment gives you the chills. The other one for me, and I know this one you may not agree with, the scene in Spider-Man 2 where he's on the train fighting Dr. Octopus, and they're going through the windows, and the tentacles are chasing him. That was, like, just straight out of John Romita comic book artwork. But seeing him with the webs, shooting them on the building to try to prevent the train from going off of the tracks, that was another moment where it something that has always just been drawn out of a comic brought to life, and you see it and you believe it. This moment for Wonder Woman kind of gave me that feeling again.
Really?
Yeah. It is early on. I look at me, I'm speechless. It's early on, but I think down the line, this could be one of the top moments of a comic book movie experience for a scene.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not the whole movie, but for a particular moment where...
Well, this scene was one of the trailers, right?
Yeah, and that was the thing, too, is you already seen it before. So it's not like it was something you weren't expecting. You knew it was coming. But to see it on the big screen, the music kicking in.
Was that? I think this was the first time they played the music when she first went onto the field, right?
Yeah.
That was the first time. And I was kind of happy with the not overdoing it with the music.
Yeah, you can overdo it with the music.
I think you can with her theme song. And you almost can't fault them because it's such a great...
Gets you going.
what is that? What's that called when it's the... When it's the core part of the movie,
like the score?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well,
the theme,
whatever.
Just her theme, okay? Yeah.
Right? You can overdo it, but I'm glad that they didn't.
Yeah.
It was done, they balanced it quite well.
They chose the right moment. I think that was the only time I remember them playing it full out, where she's in that room.
Because that was her, I think that was her, one of the bigger solo scenes where it was just her kicking butt.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, man, it was just a really cool movie. I wanted to be her. I'm going to just say it. Like, I want to be everything about her.
Exactly. Like, it's just like... But that's the point, right? Is that when you're not represented, it's hard for you to have aspiration. But when you see a representation of whether it's your gender, your race, your...
It's very empowering.
It allows you to dream.
Yeah.
It makes something suddenly a reality to you, even though it's as ridiculous as no one's gonna, like, I'll never be Superman. I'll never be Batman, but it does inspire. And when you're not represented, there is that limitation to what you think you're capable of. Even though there isn't a limitation, your mind doesn't allow you to think past it. But when you see something like that being represented for you and how her view of the world, of how it's like, what do you mean? You sound like a slave. Like, mm-hmm. all of these little things that were just acceptable,
mm-hmm.
or accepted,
mm-hmm.
amongst society, for her to be in that, to take a character, put him back in that timeline or time era, and show just look how ridiculous mankind is,
mm-hmm.
to think the way that we think of whether it's race or gender.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I don't know. It was very refreshing. I don't think any other movie has really, in this genre particularly, has done a exposition of that,
right.
as well.
Right.
Do you think, I had this question, I wrote it down to remember, but do you think that with characters such as Superman, Batman, even a Spider-Man, because they've been, they're characters who, there's been many iterations of them, whether in film, cartoon, etc., etc., that when they come back with one, such as now Homecoming, or Man of Steel, or BVS even, that they gotta do something different, because the other stuff's been done before, so they gotta do something, well, what's a version we haven't seen of this character to tell the story? Do you think that is detrimental to those characters when they've been recycled? Will have their kind of preconceived ideas of what they want to see, because that's maybe what they grew up with. Like, people can't get past Christopher Reeve as Superman. People, to the point where they tried to redo it with Brandon Routh, but then with
well, that's the other thing too, right? If you're gonna do something, like, you can't mirror something that's already been done, because I think that's a classic in itself. And to try to redo it almost to a T can, I think, do more damage than just starting from scratch and telling a new story.
Right.
Because you're now impacting the effect of the first movie.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Now you're tainting that.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, I get what you're saying.
And if you are going to retell a story, then retell it. Don't be afraid.
Yeah. I was just thinking, like, specifically Superman, Batman, and Spider-Man, they've been revisited and readapted almost to the point where you don't even want to see the origin story anymore, because you know it. Like, I get it. We know it. Uncle Ben dies. His mom gets shot. Like, we're kind of almost to the point where, like...
Well, it's also campy. So sometimes people just can't stomach certain movies because they were just done so... so crappy. Like, I'm sorry, I can't watch Spider-Man 3. There's no way.
Oh, no, that was a horrible film.
I can't do it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Right? Or even some, let's say, James Bond movies that you've mentioned, yeah. right? Like, some things age certain movies yeah. where you're kind of like, yeah, I don't buy this anymore.
Like, it's so silly.
It's just not, yeah.
That's true.
I think it's also due to the type of entertainment that we're used to now. Like, we were talking earlier about those previews of the world coming to, like, world destruction. Like, that stuff looks really real. That's nightmarish.
Yeah, it's very
nightmarish. I don't want to see that, because that looks too real. As opposed to before, it was like a, I don't know, like a Deep Impact kind of thing, or even Armageddon. It was kind of like, okay, that looks scary, but, like, you know, that's still kind of science-y. You know what I mean? Like, there's still a computer behind it.
Like special effects.
It's a story that's being told of an inevitable end that nobody wants.
Right.
As opposed to nowadays, you got, I've never seen it, but you got San Andreas, and you got this guy, and you got this tsunami, and you got that wormhole, and it's like, whoa, that's too close to home. There's
wormhole.
There's a possibility that these things can happen. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like, you don't wanna...
Yeah, it's true. Seeing mass destruction, I can't handle it either. So I was just thinking, like, why Wonder Woman out of... all of the movies thus far from DC feels like the... like, I felt... I was watching it with such pride of, like, this is what DC could be. this portrayal of, because she smiled, Daph. Do you know, she had a feeling in her that she wanted to do it. Whereas with the version of Superman, in when they BVS'd it, it was like, but why doesn't he smile? Why is he upset of being Superman?
He
seemed
like he was like manic depressant in the movie. He really did.
And I'm thinking to myself, is it because we've already seen Superman smile before? That they've gotta tell you a story of, if Superman existed in the real world, what would he be like? How would the world take to him? Is that are we telling that story because it hasn't been told? But you really should just be telling Superman the way Superman is.
Well, yeah, the way core of him.
Right,
yeah.
And that's what I felt like. And I'm thinking, is it because there's never been a Wonder Woman before that you have to differentiate from, that this one felt like it hit the mark so well? That's what I'm kind of getting at.
Hmm.
Because I'm thinking to myself, why isn't Superman smiling? Why didn't I get a bright scene of him saving people in the movie instead of the dark battle all the time? It's not that it doesn't have a place, because this movie had a really dark battle at the end. And I was...
Well, there was a lot of dark battles. There was a lot. And you know what? I don't even think her costume was as bright. Was it?
Like, not as bright,
DC
no.
still has this thing about toning down their colors.
It's still...
bit.
This movie still had the Zack Snyder filter
yeah.
on it to make sure it wasn't too bright when they got to the real world.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, boy. But how did you feel about seeing, spoilers, the main villain, Ares? How did that... Did you know it was coming?
You know what? I really didn't.
They didn't show it in the trailer. What a difference it makes, right? When you don't sell everything in the trailer.
I really did not see it coming. It makes sense that he was the villain. I have to say, I like the first half of the movie better than the second.
Okay.
Once he came in and started, like, telling his whole spiel about, well, I just planted the seed. And let them do what they know. You know what I mean? That whole thing, I was kind of like, all right. Like, I would have just preferred a direct...
Yeah, it was me.
Yeah.
Me too.
This whole, like, I'm puppeteering this whole thing, and this I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't like it.
I really liked seeing the fact that they put him in the costume. That I felt really happy. Like, it looked like Ares from the comics. That got me excited. That they didn't try to shy away from that. I'm like, wow, it's Wonder Woman fighting.
That's what
Ares.
I mean, though. Like, I guess I appreciated the actual him being there as opposed to, like, not... I don't know. Having a...
But the greens, we need some more greens?
Yeah. Like,
you're happy that they showed him.
Yeah.
But you did
like, I
like
that
version.
He was the ultimate, like, obviously,
mm-hmm.
he was the problem. He, of course, he is the enemy, right? Worthy of her strength and her, the reason why she would be there, really.
Right.
So what is she going to do? That's just kill a mortal person? That just makes her a murderer.
Yeah.
You know, someone who does take advantage of her powers and position and status or whatever.
Right.
So it does make sense that he was the opposite of her. I just don't like how he came about, I guess.
Fair enough. And you know what? A lot of people, the criticism for this movie comes from that portion
of
it.
So
You're not alone. No.
Okay.
From what I've read, from what I've heard, it's the fact that the villain isn't as well established as it could have been.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like they spent so much time on doing such a good job with the first half. It's like, oh, we're running out of time. Let's get the bad guy in here already. And then finish it. Let's bring this thing to the end kind of thing.
And I agree with you, too, on the point that I would have preferred him just to be the one influencing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, this is what I want them to fight. Yeah. I want them.
If she would have been like, you know what? The reason why your people are doing this is because Ares is behind it. Let me go get him. I would have bought that. None of this, you know, him clouding himself or pretending to be a you know what I mean? Like, just be what she thought he was. Just go to that realm and take him out.
Right.
None of this.
Almost like the animated version.
Right.
Yeah. It's true. I do think the way he's depicted is fantastic. And the fight was really cool. I thought that was well done. I agree it could have been... as a villain, there could have been a little bit more of an established thing between them. Like, they knew who they were, mm-hmm. one was. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. As opposed to just trying to fit it in at the end. Mm-hmm. It still worked, but not as strong as it could have been.
I think Willem Stryker, I think he's a fanboy.
You think so?
Remember I told you how I feel like I'm finding these
people. Do you think Chris Pine is a fanboy? Because he was also...
He was in Star Trek.
He started Captain Kirk, yeah.
Probably, yeah.
So Danny Houston, who plays Ludendorff, who is Stryker mm-hmm. in your mind. Mm-hmm. Ludendorff was a real historical person who after the war, was part of that nationalist group that was associated with Hitler. And he died, I think, in 1936, if I read it correctly. But he was one of those conspiracy theorists of what actually happened in the First World War to try to tell people that the Germans didn't actually lose. And building up that nationalistic idealism that would eventually become the Nazis. Mm. So he was a real person. So to have him in the movie was kind of interesting.
Did you find that this movie was very reminiscent of a Marvel's Captain America origin story?
Yeah, absolutely. First Avenger? Yeah, very much so. It worked almost, on the same
almost
levels.
Almost to the T, though. Because I found that... I asked you the question, but I want to hear myself give the answer. I know this wasn't the Nazis, but it was still a war mm-hmm. scenario. Mm-hmm. And then there was, like, that rogue, you know, that rogue group where they're kind of experimenting and doing crazy things on the side. And then in Captain America, there was, like, the Hydra, you know, side of things. There's the Hitler, but then there's, like, this other side of, like, stuff happening.
Yes.
Under the table.
Yes, very much. I will say, though, the Captain America version with the whole Hydra thing, it has more of the fantastic element behind it. This one I felt, as ridiculous as my answer might seem, because there's the whole Ares God of War aspect to it, that she fights him at the end, but all of the things that you're referring to, they felt more realistic, they felt more grounded, because this was the war where they were trying to develop gases to kill the enemy. Like, they were using actual concepts of what was discovered in World War One. Whereas in First Avenger, Captain America, they were using a Infinity Gem or a Cosmic Cube, whatever you want to call it, to power weapons, to give them, like, a superpower. Mm-hmm. Whereas in this one, the Dr. Poison...
They were taking an alien type of technology way ahead of their time and trying to implement it into their world.
Yes.
As opposed to, this story, as fantastical as it is and fabricated, it's still stemming from a part of history that actually happened.
Right. They were making poisonous gases to kill the enemy, which is what this offset group was doing and coming up with. Mm-hmm. And this guy, Ludendorff, did exist. And he was a very, loopy type of individual during this time, which eventually led to the Second World War. It was like an influencer in that. So I did kind of like those little, like, No Man's Land was a real place mm-hmm. where they went. And did that stuff. So I like those touches. And I like that they made it World War One instead of going to World War Two, where Wonder Woman originally was created,
yeah.
During that era, right? Yeah, yeah. So it gives it a similar feel, but it was able to tell the story well.
Hey, I have a question.
Yeah.
So, Wonder Woman doesn't age?
No.
On Earth?
She doesn't...
Because she's a god... Okay, kids, let me... Because this is where my question is coming from. Buttercup looked a little bit...
Extremely slow. They age extremely slow.
So they're, like, thousands of years old or something?
Yeah.
Because her mom also looked aged.
Yes.
Apolita.
Yes.
I like saying the word Apolita. I like saying her name. But yeah, they weren't... However, Diana, of course she aged.
Yeah, she grew up.
Obviously, because she's not a little baby anymore.
No, but she's been around from 19... whatever the year is, early 1900s, and she's in 2016 with Superman and Batman, and she doesn't look very much older.
No, not at all.
Right.
That's my question. Yeah. Like, is that... You know how Superman doesn't age because of Earth's sun and the powers and da-da-da? Now that she's not on the... I'm just wondering if not being on Themyscira is what allows her to not age in our world, as opposed to if she was there, maybe she would age like everyone else eventually.
I don't know. I can't answer it 100%, but she's also Zeus's daughter, which contributes to her very, very slow aging, if at all. Right?
But Zeus looks old.
Wow. I don't know. She's aging very, very well. Very Oil graciously. Of Olay twice a day from the Themyscira. I don't know. Anything else you want to add?
Don't they have a bath on Themyscira where it kind of like, not like a Lazarus pit, but something that kind of euthanizes
them?
No, that's not the word, but kind of heals them.
Rejuvenates.
That's the word.
What would you do without me? You'd be digging for words all day.
Oh, for sure.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Okay.
They're good questions. I can look them up in the next episode. I can say that.
I was just wondering. It's okay.
No, it's a good question. Very good question. I didn't even think of that.
Didn't mean to stump
you. Yeah, you got me. You stumped me. I just realized the other day I was listening to an older episode of ours. Movies that shouldn't be remade.
Mm-hmm.
And then the movies that should be remade.
Correct.
And I listed Breakfast Club on both of them like an idiot. So I said Breakfast Club should never be remade. And then I said Breakfast Club should be remade.
But...
My explanation was good.
Yeah.
But
maybe with between episodes, you had a change of heart. Like, you kind of
I just want to say I realized that I made a...
With time comes experience, and we are allowed to change our minds. That's okay.
Thank you.
You are welcome.
For defending my...
Idiocity? Asininity?
My airheadedness.
So, yeah. Zeus, you thought he was cool. Not Zeus.
Ares. I was just happy that they weren't scared to show him like that. Like, I'm happy that they didn't try to cheat the whole villain aspect of it. Like, mm-hmm. Make him look like Ares does in the comic. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And Dr. Poison is a another DC villain as well, Wonder Woman villain from, like, way back.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, they did a good job. I gotta say, like, it wasn't heavy with Easter eggs and all these other, because she was...
Oh, you know what Easter egg I did enjoy?
Which one? Tell me.
When she really liked the ice cream.
Yes, that was a good, very good, good pull.
That was amazing.
Yes, that's from the Geoff Johns, Jim Lee Justice League.
And
that's right.
Yeah. Didn't she... I remember she, in one of the animated things...
War. Yeah, that's the one I'm referring to.
Yeah, she said she had ice cream from some guy, and she said...
I think it was the same line, actually, from this movie.
Right? You should be really proud of yourself? You should be
very proud, yes.
Yeah, or something like that. Anyway, I don't remember, but yeah, it was really good. I liked it.
That was a good memory. Yeah, I was happy to see that as well, that she... Once she started to get the ice cream served, I'm like, oh boy, this is gonna... This is from the Geoff Johns issue. I hope they do it right. And they did exactly. Other than that, I couldn't really think of too many other Easter eggs.
I don't understand why they had to kill off Steve Trevor.
Spoilers.
I don't get why they have to do that.
Because it gives the photograph so much more value to her.
But why couldn't it be that, you know, they won the war together and they maintained friendships, and then, you know, he died because, you know, he's not a god. And she outlives him, like, the way Captain Rogers outlives Peggy, in a way.
Because what... The best part of the...
I just think that the way it was done... I mean, okay, if he would have just died in battle, kind of thing, I get that. But for him to voluntarily go ahead... And couldn't he just land it somewhere? He couldn't just park the car?
Park the plane?
Yeah. No, couldn't he have done that? He's a pilot, is he not? It's not like they, you know, it's not like some rogue, you know, German been like, ha-ha, the wires are out, nothing you can do, kind of thing. And then he, like, jumps out of a parachute. And then, you know, like, now he's stuck with, like, you know, crashing the plane somewhere.
It gave it the drama, right? It added the heartbreak. It added the drama. It was the fact that she lost something and that it was the person who's...
And what was she, the Hulk at the end? All of a sudden, she get the more sadder she is, the stronger she gets, kind of thing? Like, what was that about at the end?
I think it was her realizing who she actually was, that there wasn't a limit to what she thought she can do as... to what she... Sorry. There wasn't a limit to her abilities the way she thought there were.
This is what I mean. These are the components of the ending, or this half of the movie, or I was kind of like, yeah, I don't know about this. Nah, I don't know about that. And why is he flying when she can just lift up the plane and just kind of seat it, just hide it behind the bush, wait for things to settle down, and then we'll go and take care of these toxic gases. You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like certain things didn't have to abruptly end the way that they did.
I agree with you, but I also understand why they were done.
Explain this to me, please.
Because, so the story of her and Steve is always like a will they or won't they type of story, right? They're in love with each other.
But in this movie, it was kind of like, did they?
They did.
No, but you know that they kind of did, but it was like, it was one physical encounter, we can say, and then that's it? And that's what makes her go bananas and find out she's, like, this all-powerful goddess that can... You know what I'm... Go ahead, you're explaining, I'm just...
I just think it adds to her story, her history, the sorrow that she has, but also the inspiration that the men... or mankind has given her, to see that he sacrificed himself and he didn't have any special powers. Like, he knew he was going to sacrifice himself for the betterment or for the lives of others. And it gave her that attachment to
humanity.
Exactly. Whereas if he had lived and they had gone on and had a family and she settled down with this man, like, it would take away from the mythos that is Wonder Woman. She is a warrior, and she is out to protect, and she does have a mission, and she is a princess of, you know, she doesn't she's never, I don't think, domesticated with Steve, as far as I know, in the comics. But it's always that forbidden romance type of thing. So if he had lived a long life, and they had lived happily ever after until his death, and he just grew old and died, how would you explain? I don't know. I would kind of feel like it would take away from her being around now in the Justice League.
Like, I'm not saying I wanted a happily and ever ending story. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, you know, there are certain things that certain people are should do. And I don't think he would. How do I say it? I don't know.
You didn't like that choice. You didn't think it was a necessary finale.
There are certain people that are obviously meant to do certain things, and I don't think he was in such a jam that they couldn't figure out, you know.
I think if we watch it again, it'll explain why he had to do it. I don't think they had a choice.
Like I said, he could have landed the plane.
I think it was going to blow. I think the plane was
going to blow. Oh, because it had a bomb.
Yeah. So he had to fly it.
Okay, but you didn't think about taking a parachute with you? Aren't you a spy? Aren't you supposed to think two steps ahead?
I don't think there was enough time to do it. That was the only option. It was one of those things where he had no choice.
He had no choice. He
had to do it. And she had to accept it. And she couldn't hear him.
Yes, I know that. I get it. That's fine. I was just wondering.
Did you like the movie? Or did it end on such a downer that it took it away for you?
Fine.
Oh, it was just fine. The first superhero, female superhero.
I told you, I don't know how many minutes ago, I like the first half more than the second.
Fair enough. I respect your...
I think after they entered No Man's, after the No Man's Land, that's when it kind of started either, it started plateauing for me.
Okay.
That's, it didn't go downhill, I'm not going to say that, it just started plateauing. And okay. I was kind of like, oh, okay, this is the direction we're taking, sure, you know? And then there's like that storytelling of the god being, you know, influential and planting seeds and being behind everything. And then, you know, Steve dies and then she's like, all of a sudden, I'm somebody special. Like, it was just a lot all at once at the end. So I was like, okay.
I get it. I get what you're saying. That's yeah. That's a fair assessment. So the real question is, can we go watch it again? Because I liked it enough to go watch it a second time. Would you watch it again?
I would go see it again.
Would you own it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is your final score out of a 10?
I will give it 7.5 lassos out of 10.
7.5 lassos.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it...
Let me guess. You're going to give it an 8.9.
Close. 8.5 lassos.
Oh, okay.
I want to give it a 9 lassos, but 8.5 lassos. Yeah.
Hey, man. Her invisible plane never made a cameo. You think it'll be in the next one?
I hope not.
I think is it too ridiculous?
I don't could understand she fly? It. She could
was
fly.
Was she flying in this one? I feel like she wasn't really flying. She was hopping around like the Hulk.
I think at the end, you realize that she can fly.
At the very end.
Yeah, I'm always confused about, like, why does she have a plane? Because
maybe she wants to transport the team.
She doesn't need to. They got, I don't know.
Well, Batman has his own plane. Superman can fly.
Yeah, it was one of those things where I never understood why she has an invisible plane when in the comics she's always been able to fly.
And in the comics, does she have a shield as predominantly as she has?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes,
that's not all. Just on Themyscira all the time?
She's got that. She goes, yeah, she's ready for battle.
So she's like she is the female Captain America.
More like the female Thor.
Well, she kind of bears the American colors.
Yes.
On her person.
Yes, but she's not... She's more of an ambassador as opposed to...
A soldier?
Yeah, an American soldier.
Hmm.
Right.
Gotcha.
Got it? The Got creator it. Of Wonder Woman, just want to put this out
he
there.
He was a dominatrix-loving person. Yes, he was. That's why the lasso's in it. Did anyone know that? I was
say that the lasso... Being the
he liked putting women in positions of
hold your horses.
All right,
I was gonna say
and he was the creator of the lie detector.
That's what I was gonna bring up, not the kinky stuff. And the lasso of truth is an indicator of the fact also that he invented the lie detector machine.
I said that already.
Right. That's the association I was going to put with them, but you wanted to take it somewhere else.
I didn't take it. It's fact.
His idea was
him
that...
Him and his wife were both into it.
Hold on a second.
Am I telling a fib?
You're messing it up. So his idea was that women were the only ones who could properly rule over society for... mankind to thrive if women were in charge. And that's why he thought of this Themyscira being a place where it was ruled by women and you can see how well they would rule. So him and his wife were in a Vicky Cristina Barcelona relationship with a third, and the third woman in their relationship is who they based Wonder Woman off of. And yes, there was bondage and things involved.
Bondage.
Yeah.
That's the word. What was I saying?
Dominatrix.
That's the word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of
we just wanted to let
interesting history behind
it. Yeah, there was. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Everything stems from somewhere.
He was an interesting, for lack of a better term, interesting cat. So... Wonder Woman. It's here. It's arrived. It was wonderful, in my opinion. I'm happy. I'm happy for women all over the world who got to see an awesome representation of power and strength, and as well as gentleness and love all at the same time.
Well, you know, and again, we keep saying about, oh, women, 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 and it's not, obviously, it's not about women, but I think it is a commentary on any individual who wants to show compassion, anyone who wants to genuinely help, anyone who wants to make a difference, you can. You don't have to be a superhero.
Exactly, Daf J. I think that hits the nail on the head. You don't have to be a superhero to do it. So with that said, let's wrap this one up in our lasso of truth. You can email us. Daf, do you know where you can email us?
Yeah, man.
Tell us. Tell the fans.
caveofsolitude@outlook.ca.
Com.
Shit.
As well, you can look us up on Facebook. You can find me at Eric Anthony, or you can look us up Cave of Solitude on Facebook. Follow our page, like us, and leave us a review on on iTunes.ca. If you want, you can go to Amazon and buy a couple of Wonder Woman omnibus. I would suggest the George Perez one. It's on for good sale. It's worth it. It's great stuff. But yes, leave us a review on iTunes. Thank you again for listening. And if you haven't seen Wonder Woman, we're sorry we spoiled it. Go to the theater and watch it. And if you have seen it, go again, because it was great. Daf J, any final words?
Yes, always. Seeing as it's Friday, yes?
Yes.
It's also known as Foster Friday at the David Sheldrick Wildlife Trust. This is where my elephant Cites and my giraffe Kiko reside. So anyway, it is Foster Friday, and if you like, you can go ahead and visit their website at thedswt.org/foster, and there's a bunch of stories of orphaned elephants that would love to be cared and loved for by our cave dwellers. Feel free to visit the website. We're not sponsored by them or anything, but this is what they do. They care for the animals. They even have a little hippo there now that they built a custom-made pool for her. Her name is Humphrey. they just care for wildlife of any. They don't discriminate, even though it's mostly like elephants. There's rhinos too, and there's a lot of work and materials that are needed to be able to take care of these beautiful creatures. So if you want to do something nice today, and for the rest of the year, you can go ahead and foster as little as $50. That's all you got to do if you want to. And then they give you updates on how your foster baby is doing. So,
are you sure you're not getting paid by them?
I'm not. I'm really not. And you can follow them on Instagram too. Yeah, because that's they always give you a little update every Friday on what baby animal is there, and who you can foster if you wish. If not, you can at least look at their cute little photos on Instagram.
Look at you fawning over elephants and giraffes.
So cute. Anyway, go ahead and follow or find it in your heart to care for...
Foster one.
Foster an animal.
Thanks, Daf J. You got this beautiful grin on your face. And your eyes are watering up like mine were when I saw the mascara. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Have a good day, everybody.
Foster Friday.
Foster Friday.